Keep your Bibles, we'll turn to Genesis chapter 6. We'll be looking at various verses out of Genesis 6 through 8 as we follow up on what the young people have introduced to us in this familiar passage of Scripture, this familiar story about Noah and how God used him for a very special project. What's an ark? An ark is a really, really big boat. Some of you enjoy being on boats. Some of you may own a boat that you like to be on. I have not always had good experiences with boats myself. I don't know what actually causes these problems, but I have some issues when I get on boats. One particular time I recall, we went down to Florida as I was a teenager with our family, and my brother who lived down there at the time wanted to show us a great time. We did all sorts of different things. We hunted for scallops and went to all these wonderful beaches, but one of the particular activities that we went on involved deep sea fishing. Deep sea fishing, you go on this wonderful boat that takes you out in the middle of the Gulf, and they go way out, and your whole goal is to catch these huge, huge fish. I mean, they're just large fish, and so I was excited about the potential of being able to catch one of these large fish. We had these huge fishing reels on these long rods, and I was just all ready for that activity. But it was a especially windy day on that day, and the waves went up and down and up and down. And as a result, the boat went up and down and up and down. And we were kind of looking out the back of the boat, because that's how you fish in those things, and looking out the back of the boat, up and down and up and down. I remember referring to my mom that I didn't feel very well, and that was the end of the story right there. She gave me some 7-Up when it did come up. Yeah, it just, and that was the end of that. They took a big bucket of water, washed off my reel, gave it to somebody else, and I spent my whole trip a whole different color than what I started out. So boats have not always been my favorite thing. So I can understand, maybe for Noah, he'd never seen a boat before. I don't know. I've been doing some study in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and talked about the waters and how they were divided and such. And it almost looked at it as a possibility that, you know, the world was one big island there, you know. So maybe they didn't have boats at all. And just the thought of what God had been asking of Noah, in a sense, to have him get aboard with his plan. And so what we want to look at today in the short amount of time that we have, and I summarize some of the things that the young people have done an excellent job of introducing, I want us to look at how that we can be on board with God, and using that simple word ark with three letters, emphasizing three additional words on how that we can be on board with God. Before we do, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at a few verses out of that portion of Scripture. And trust that there'll be encouragement to you how that you can be on board with God. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you will allow me to be able to do my part. The young people have done an excellent job of presenting that which you have given them as their responsibility. And Lord, may I be able to be your tool as well. And I pray, God, that indeed as we focus on application on how that we can have a Noah-like experience in our life of recognizing that you indeed are God and we are not, and that we can trust in you, that you will be the one who will use us to accomplish some pretty impacting things. Thank you again for this privilege, and pray that your word will have an impact in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. As was directed by the narrator, the time in which Noah lived was a very wicked time. Individuals wanted to do what they wanted to do, and it was not consistent with what God wanted. As a result, things are all around the known world at that time were evil, and God looked down there and he says, I cannot abide this any longer. I must do something to eliminate this. And so as a result, God was looking for someone who was available. And our first word out of that ark is being available. Someone who is available for God. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's verse 8 there. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now we want to look at how Noah was available. He was available in these various ways. When all around us seem to be doing evil, are we willing to be available at that particular time? Or are we interested in just simply blending in with the surroundings? Regardless of whether you're dealing with a school situation where you go off to a school and everyone else is doing something that you know is not pleasing God, or it might be a work situation or whatever is going on with your friends, your buddies, even a family situation where others are wanting to do evil, are we willing to be available to God in those type of situations when all those around us seek to do evil? We talk quite a bit about the importance of guarding against peer pressure. And many times we put that in a compartment saying, that's a teen thing. But folks, regardless of our age, we deal with the issue of being available to God when those around us are thinking and desiring to do evil things, and be willing to be available to Him in that situation. Verses 6 and 7 said that God was interested in making sure something was done. As you recall about the drama that was put on, that Noah, in our interpretation of how this went, struggled sometimes as to whether it should be done a certain way. We don't know for sure what all he did, but we do know that what he was called to do was to fulfill not Noah's plan, but God's plan. And as we think of the various things that God may ask of us to do, are we willing and available to get the job that God wants done? Many times we have an idea of what we want to do, and we are available for what we want. We're hoping that God will get on board with us. You know, and that's not the point. It's not our boat that God gets on. We get on His boat, and we go His direction. A third thing about being available is by walking in step with God. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. There is so much we can talk about in the importance of walking with God, but just consider with me what types of things are involved with walking with someone. My wife and I enjoy going for walks, and recently we added a threesome to some of our walks. By the name of Grace or Gracie. Gracie's about 3 months old, a little over 3 months old, half lab, half German Shepherd, and the other half, never mind. But Gracie has to learn how to walk with us. We're in the process of helping her realize that in order to go for a walk with us, she must be willing to go in the same direction that we're going. It becomes very uncomfortable for Gracie when she decides to go the wrong direction. So we're trying to help her realize that a walk with someone means we're walking in the same direction. When you're doing a walk with God, you need to be going in the same direction God is going. I believe Noah was doing that. Another thing that Gracie's realizing is that she needs to go at the same pace that we're going. That also can be quite frustrating. One of these days she's going to learn she can breathe if she would just slow down. And sometimes we find ourselves wanting to get out ahead of God and not wanting to go at His pace and not being patient. I believe Noah was willing to go at the pace of God, for he walked with God. And another thing that I think of is the whole idea of walking involves progress. Sometimes Gracie likes to just sit down, doesn't want to go anywhere. Or Gracie wants to smell something that was over on the side there, or whatever. She wants to stop. Well, if she's going to walk with us, she has to continue to progress. And the same thing, if we're going to walk with God, we must be willing to go, not only at the pace and the direction He's going, but to seek progress in our life. God doesn't stand still. We may get to the point in our life where we think we've grown a lot for God. We've grown a lot. Well, now it's time to just sit and not do anything. Well, God is moving, okay? And He wants us to keep up with Him. And He doesn't want us to talk about the good old days. He doesn't want to talk about what we used to do. He wants us to talk about the walk today, not the walk last week, not the walk last year, 10 years ago. He's walking today. Let's walk with Him today and progress with Him. Noah is a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. He was available. Available in a time when everyone else around him was not. He was available to walk with God. He was available to go and do what God wanted done. The second word we want to look at is the word responsive. Noah was responsive to God. It says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. And God went to very extra special purpose to make sure we understood. After God told us everything that Noah was to do, he says this, that Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. He kind of is redundant, but I think he's redundant for a reason, to help us see that Noah did. Noah did what God told him to do. He was responsive immediately. That word, thus. Thus Noah did. His responsiveness wasn't a situation where he thought, well, okay, God wants me to do this, so I will do it when it's convenient for me. When I get around to it. You remember years ago when they used to give those things out? Huh? Anybody ever get one of those? And some of you don't know what that is. It looks like a coin, could be any size, but in the midst of that coin has the word, the letters T-U-I-T. So you have it available as soon as someone says, well, I'll get to it when I get around to it. And you say, well, here's a round to it. And so you can get to it because now you have that to it that is round. But that isn't the way Noah was. He wasn't saying, okay, I'll wait till it starts raining. That would have been a little bit problematic. He was willing to get involved with God immediately. He responded immediately. He responded completely. In this verse 22, but also in chapter 7, verse 5, even as the process is going on, it says that he did according to all that God commanded him. Watching Noah and Mrs. Noah interacting with this whole thing, and this skit could have gone on with imagining what it would have been like for Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their wives, and you put that all together with the various individuals that could have had their own opinion how things could be done and the difficulties of it, and be very easy to say, you sure we need to do all these things that God wants us to do? You sure we need all these animals? You sure we need to build it all this big? Do you ever get that way with some of your projects? I have a project that when it first starts out, it's going to be a really big project, but I get partially into it and I think, well, let's see. Let's negotiate with the foreman. Marty, what do you think? Can we kind of cut back on this? Yeah, you've been at it for 10 years, maybe so, you know. We'll negotiate to get something done here. But no, it wasn't that way. It wasn't like, okay, God, I got like 3/4 of the ark done. Can't we just kind of put a door on it and call it fixed, you know? He said he did all that God called him to do. And he did it continuously. It's thought that Noah spent upwards to 120 years because of the emphasis in the texts and some other things. And during that time, as was displayed by the skit, Noah spent time talking with individuals. The Bible calls him a preacher. In Peter, 2 Peter 2:25, Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. That preaching that would have taken place for what we believe could have been 120 years in preparation for the flood, as he built and he attempted to build bridges into the lives of other individuals. And if you were to look at a chronological table of the timeline of the lives of the people that were around Noah, none of his family members, other than his children and their wives and his wife, got in the boat. That means that he had grandparents, that he had cousins, he had possibly brothers and sisters, and all these types of individuals would not listen to him. But he was faithful, and he continued on. He was responsive continuously all the way to the time of getting into the boat. And not only that, getting into the boat, I have no idea how God deodorized the whole boat. But we had an opportunity to go out to what we call Barn Fest last night. And I tell you what, I was more preoccupied with watching what I was going to step in. And I can't fathom what it was like being on an ark and wondering where all that stuff would go from all those animals. And wondering about the odor and what would happen with all that odor. I don't know if you've ever come across hog confinements before or anything, but I'm just trying to take that and multiply it out and try to imagine, it would have been a blessing to have a cold. You know, it would have been a blessing not to be able to smell what was going on. But it's not only 40 days. If you look at 7:11, chapter 7, verse 11, it says, on the 600th year of Noah's life, his second month, 17th day, the flood started. Look also, in chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, it says, now on the 601st year, second month, 27th day, the ground was finally dry. Folks, that's over a year. Now, when I think of a project of doing something for 40 days and 40 nights, that's a stretch for me. If I'm thinking about committing my life to that in a confined place, some of us are a little on the claustrophobic area. That they had at the Barn Fest a hay maze where you could go through. And some opted out of that because they didn't like being confined places. Imagine, not just 40 days and 40 nights while it rained, but you're looking at a whole year of being on that boat with the same 8 people. Worse yet, their family. You know, and chores, and responsibilities, and animals. And folks, I know God intervened in some ways, but we have just one puppy. We have just one puppy we're trying to help in this stage of its life. I can't imagine many of those animals on the ark may have been little ones. You know, because they couldn't necessarily put all the big ones on there, you know. And I'm thinking, what stress might have been there, but continually responsive to God. And then just the final thought is for the letter K. You know, there's not a lot of words for K. And so I came up with the word keen. Keen is that idea of someone who is able to notice something. That they're able to have a perspective of what is happening. In my mind, I see Noah had a perspective of how God was doing things. It says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. I think that's a consummation of understanding the whole picture. Noah was willing to take 100 years of his life in preparation of putting this ark together. He's willing to take a whole year of his life floating on this thing, this boat. And then when it was all over, instead of just coming down to the ground, hugging a rock, just living life for himself and saying, I made it through it. I have gone through all this. I can't believe it. Oh, what God has taken me through. Oh, now I can finally dry land. Oh, wow. Oh, my, dry land. Oh, wow. You know, just the thought of what would go through his mind. I've gone through the test. I've gone through the trial. I've accomplished what I needed to accomplish. I was the man. I was there for God. And now it's all over. I'm out of this boat. Let's build houses way away from each other. Let's, you know, just this whole idea of I've gone through all this stuff. But he didn't do that. The first thing he does is he comes and he sacrifices to God and he realizes that this is all God's promise and he has done such a faithful thing here. It's not an inconvenience for me to spend a year in this boat. It's not a hardship. It is a great blessing that all these individuals that used to be around me now have died. They have all been washed away. They are no longer existing, but yet God and in His favor, in His mercy, pulled me aside and has allowed me to live through this. And how he recognized, he was keen on the fact that God had cared for him. And folks, how many times we need to remember that in the Christian walk where we felt like we've spent some time in an uncomfortable situation where we've gone through some difficulties and we fail to realize that the Christian walk, though it may not have everything that you thought it would have, that maybe you're expecting things to always go smoothly and you've run through some storms and you've had to deal with the ups and downs just like you would in an ark and you get to a stage and you want to just give up. Remember, you have been saved. you have been rescued. All the individuals who mocked you before, if they don't accept Christ, if they don't get in the boat, they will spend an eternity without God. I think Noah was keen on that. Noah realized what he had. Noah recognized that the things of life, those comforts, those creature comforts we call, are so insignificant when you look at things from an eternal perspective. He had his life. He had his children. He had an opportunity. That's what we all have. And as the ark is a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ has, let us be keen on God's care through the flood. God's care through our lives. Noah was not only keen to the flood through the time through that, but also through the fact that God had made a promise. God had given a promise in the rainbow. And that every time you look out at the rainbow found in chapter 9, 12 through 17, God wanted Noah and everyone to know they didn't have to, every time raindrops came down, they didn't start running for the hills. And that was very important. Sometimes we take that lightly as to why God gave that promise. But folks, can you imagine the first day of rain afterwards? It'd be like, oh no, it's going over again. And we just took the boat apart for housing. You know? But he put that promise there to let them know. Didn't give them all the details of what the future would be. But you don't have to worry about the rain. The rain is a blessing. The rain is here to take care of your crops. The rain is here to provide for you water. The rain is here for these various things. And so how God has done that for us as well. He's given us a hope to look forward to. Someday Jesus is coming back. Jesus is going to come back and He's going to take us to be able to spend eternity with Him. And we look forward to that. We look forward to the fact that He is the one who has paid the penalty of our sin. And maybe we won't look at a rainbow to have that, but every time we see a cross, every time we see a cross, we're reminded of the fact that our debt has been paid. Jesus Christ paid that penalty by dying on the cross for our sins. And how we rejoice and how we should be keen on what God is going to do for us. Are you on board with God? Are you on board? Are you available for His call? Are you available to be used by Him in whatever fashion He wants? Are you willing to be used of Him? Are you responsive to His command? Are you willing to respond to Him and do that which He has called you to do? And through it all, are you willing to be keen to His care? Are you willing to notice what God is doing? Many times we get caught up about the waves, we get caught up about all the things that are going on around us and forget God cares. God truly cared for Noah and his family. Noah found grace in his sight. He wanted to care for him. We have found grace in the sight of God too. Grace is stated to be God's riches at Christ's expense when He died on the cross to give us that chance to place our faith in Him. We have that same grace. Let's be keen on that care. We want to encourage you, if you have not gotten on board with God, maybe you've not placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You know the people that didn't go inside the boat? They were left outside the boat? There was a door. The Bible says there was only one way into the ark. It was through the door. Jesus says there's only one way to heaven. He is the door. The people who didn't want to go through the door with Noah weren't saved. People who aren't willing to go through the door with Jesus will not be saved. And God has made it so clear for us to know that we can go through the door, be on board, and be safe. And I want to encourage you to take that on. And by the way, it doesn't say Noah ever closed the door. God closed the door. And someday God's going to close the door on opportunities here too. He's coming back. And we want to encourage you to be ready and not to be caught outside. Let's get on board. Father, I thank You for the privilege of being able to just summarize a lot of what the young people have done such an excellent job of introducing to us. Lord, I pray that between our teamwork today, we might be able to be used as Your vessel. that we might be able to see individuals' lives change as a result of today. And maybe there's individuals who just aren't willing to be available to you. Maybe they've been hiding. Maybe they've been preoccupied. Maybe they've just not thought that you would want to use them. I pray, Lord, that they would be available. Lord, there's some people you've been speaking to. People you've been trying to get their attention. You've been wanting them to do certain things, but they've not been very responsive. Lord, I pray that they might respond even today, that they might get away from those things that are distracting them from being obedient to you. And Lord, there's probably some people here too that just have not been keen on your care. They've not been realizing what you've been doing in their life. They've been discouraged. They've been frustrated. They've been looking at the things around them and not been appreciating all that you've saved them from and all that you have planned for them. Father, I pray whatever the need is, that we might be willing to get on board. Help us remember these words from this little simple word, ark. So when we answer the question, what's an ark? Hopefully it's somebody who's available, receptive, and keen on you. We pray that you would help us to be just that. In Jesus' name, amen. We encourage you to stand with us, if you would, as we have...